Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi, everyone. Judge Andrew Napolitano here for Judging Freedom. Today is Wednesday, April 10th, 2024. Phil Giraldi is here on Israel's dangerous game in the Middle East. But first this.
How do you really feel about your financial future right now, today? Stable or uncertain? Despite all the happy talk that the Fed and the banks want you to buy into, I believe that 2024 is going to be a very unstable year, politically and financially. That's one of the reasons I decided to buy physical gold and silver, and I suggest you should do the same and do it now. Why? Because throughout times of economic uncertainty, gold and silver have rightly earned a reputation for stability. Owning precious metals has made me feel more stable, and it can do the same for you. Reach out to my friends at Lear Capital and get their free wealth protection guides. You can reach them at 800-511-4620. Lear has earned an excellent reputation by helping thousands of customers just like you move portions of their retirement savings into Lear gold and silver IRAs. It's easy to do, and it's tax and penalty free. Don't be caught off guard. Experts predict the markets may tank again. You'll be happy if you have protection in place. So call Lear at 800-511-4620. 800-511-4620, or go to LearJudgeSnap.com and tell them your friend the judge sent you.
Phil, welcome to the show, my dear friend. Much appreciated. Before we get to your piece on Apocalypse Now, Israel is playing a dangerous game in the Middle East, I want to ask you a few questions, particularly about this comment by our friend and colleague, Colonel Lawrence Wilkerson, that it is more likely than not that the CIA was involved in the attack on the Crocus Concert Hall outside of Moscow. And to be fair to Colonel Wilkerson and to you, here's what he said.
This looks a lot like what Nord Stream turned out to be, a U.S. operation. Only the CIA led it. Let's face it. We have done as much to create and to nurture ISIS as anything else on the face of the earth, whether it be Abu Musab al-Zarqawi or any of the instigators of the so-called ISIS consulate in the beginning. We've used ISIS, and when I say we, I mean that agency called the CIA, the same agency that does so many nefarious things in our name. And they have worked ISIS and worked operatives from ISIS in order to do other things. And I'm hearing, and it makes a lot of sense to me, and I'm watching the behavior and the signals coming from Moscow, which are usually very indicative of the truth when it's something like this. And I think that's what Putin believes. And I think the intelligence community in Russia, whether it's the GRU, the NKVD, the KSB, the FSB, or whatever, they believe it too. And that makes this Ukraine conflict a different conflict as of that killing of that many Russians that close to Putin, and blame lying at least in part with the people who orchestrated it being the CIA.
What's your take, Mr. Former CIA?
Well, I didn't do it. I don't buy that. I think there are many more players in this game than he's giving credit to. You know, it's always easy to blame the CIA for everything because it's a secret intelligence organization. So it's a permanent patsy, as the expression might go. What I've seen is that if anyone had more relationship with ISIS, it was Israel. So if you're looking for relationships and that kind of thing, and Israel would have motive, given the fact that the Russians are kind of a potential key player in what is going on in Syria right now. So it's, I don't know. I just don't buy it. I think that certainly the big motive here is on the part of Ukraine, and Ukraine certainly has operational connections with the Israelis and with the CIA and with military intelligence. There are a lot of people that potentially could have come up with a scheme like this and done it. But in my mind, this was, apart from Ukraine, this was kind of overkill for the United States to get involved to this extent. It even would be, I think, overkill for the Israelis to want to get involved to this extent.
Would it have been overkill? Would it have been overkill for MI6 to get involved?
Yeah, MI6 is a different story. MI6 doesn't have a lot to lose or really a lot to gain, but they tend to get involved in these kind of relationships. I think I've mentioned to you before that MI6, before the U.S. really got involved with what was going on in Ukraine, were kind of heavily engaged. I mean, they're Europeans. They have a high reputation. MI6 could be a possible player in this, sure.
Is Zelensky so desperate or so unwilling to face reality that he would have signed off on something like this?
Yeah, I think Zelensky is capable of just about anything. He's desperate. He knows he's losing. And the fact is he's trying to shake the dice and see what comes out the other end, would be my suspicion. This killing of a lot of Russian civilians is kind of something that he would give his seal of approval on. Now, bear in mind that, you know, there are a lot of stories floating around about who knew what. And I am waiting to see the conclusion and the results of the investigation that the Russians are conducting, because they're interrogating these people who carried out the attack. So there's a big hole there in the middle that we don't know anything about right now.
Transitioning to Israel, what countries have not condemned the Israeli genocide in Gaza?
Well, the number one one would have to be, depending on how you take Joe Biden's statements, would have to be the United States. Look what our Secretary of Defense just said yesterday, I think it was, where he said that, we have no evidence that that Israel is acting inhumanely, or that it is working on a genocide. And I mean, he must be unique not to realize that.
Did he say this? Did he say this as he has in the past under oath before a Senate committee?
No, I think it was a journalist that he was responding to, the clip I saw. But, you know, the U.S. government continues to be delusional, wants to play this game both ways. But the one country that, of course, is most engaged on this issue is Germany. Germany has its major guilt trip over the Second World War, and that continues to play out. And the French are playing a double game, too. So there are a number of countries that are still playing this game.
And of course, Great Britain, which does whatever the United States wants.
Except that Rishi, I think, yesterday said something to the effect that he called for a ceasefire, kind of.
Interesting that he would do that. What is Netanyahu's goal with the slaughter in Gaza? Is it really the security of the Israeli state? Or is it his longevity in office? Is it the expansion of the state of Israel's landmass? Or is it World War III with Ukraine and the U.S. on Israel's side?
Well, it's probably a little bit of all that. I mean, certainly he has a personal agenda to want to hang in there, because if he has to call elections, he will almost certainly be defeated and he'll wind up in jail. So that's his personal agenda. But I think he and his cabinet and the Likud party are all in the same bed in terms of what they want. They want basically to get rid of as many Palestinians as they can through force or through persuasion. And they want what used to be the country of Palestine, for starters, to be a Jewish state. I think they've made that very clear. So it's kind of, let's get rid of them, and we will be a Jewish state, and then everything will be just fine, which, of course, is nonsense. Netanyahu has actually made Israel very vulnerable by totally destroying its reputation internationally by what he's been doing.
I asked you this 6 months ago, and of course, we didn't know what the answer was then. There's been a lot of evidence that's been adduced since then, and a lot of opinions, some worth considering, some not. Do you think the Netanyahu government intentionally let its guard down because they wanted this to happen so they could use it as an excuse to expand Israel from the river to the sea?
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Yes, I've been convinced of that since the fifth minute after it happened, that's exactly what I saw there. Given the capabilities that the Israelis had along the border there, electronic capabilities, soldiers, they had spies of their own inside Gaza that were watching the exercises that Hamas was running. They got a tip-off from the Russians. They got a tip-off apparently from the United States. And this was a deliberate policy to escalate what was going on, in my mind. And I think Netanyahu was a bit surprised at how effective Hamas actually was and how good their planning was and how well it went. That took him by surprise. But the fact is, I'm sure this, I believe, and a number of other people that I know that are following this also believe that this was allowed to happen.
Well, he would be prosecuted and I think if convicted, incarcerated for the rest of his life. I don't think Israel has a death penalty. If this evidence were to come out, there would be no toleration for this, no matter the outcome, I would think, of the war against Gaza or a war against Iran, if there's going to be one. We'll talk about that in a minute. But my point is, there is no legal, moral, or even Zionist defense to what Netanyahu did if he looked the other way, hoping that a war would start.
Well, and then you have to couple that with the other aspect of this. I mean, every time you open a paper in the U.S., you hear that, Hamas in attacked Israel on October 7th, and they killed 1,250 people and took 250 more prisoners. Well, the reality is, even the Israeli military has conceded that most of the people that were killed quite likely were killed by friendly fire.
Right.
And so that is something that the Israelis don't want to confront about Mr. Netanyahu, because obviously he unleashed ultimate firepower with helicopters with machine guns blazing, shooting everything moving on the ground. And now that part of the story is something they don't want to hear about.
And some of the people were civilians and some were IDF soldiers who were killed by friendly fire by their own colleagues.
Yep.
Is Israel currently at war with Lebanon, Syria, and Iran?
Well, I think you'd have to say that they are. There has been a lot of unreported in the U.S. media shooting along the southern border, the northern border of Israel, with the southern border of Lebanon, and people are dying there. And this whole frontier zone has been evacuated by Israel to create a free fire zone, and they've been attacking ever since October Syria on almost a weekly basis. And these a couple of recent attacks or major escalations, and the major escalations were clearly aimed at Iran. And so if you're killing Iranian generals who are in Syria, which is a country you're not at war with, you're committing an act of war against Syria and against the Iranians.
Has Syria attacked Israel?
So Syria has never attacked Israel, as far as I know. They have never taken the offensive against Israel.
Why did Israel murder those two generals who happened to be in the Iranian consulate adjacent to the Iranian embassy, sovereign territory of Iran, though located in Damascus, Syria?
Well, they haven't really given a reason, but of course the logic would be that, oh, these Iranian generals were meeting with Hezbollah from Lebanon, and they were maybe directing them, or they were maybe telling them where they could pick up their weapons or whatever. So this is a what-if type situation. But clearly, given the high rank of these generals and their high profiles politically, this was an intentional move to escalate the fighting that was already going on there. And the reason why they did that is because they want to create another escalation by the Iranians. They're hoping for that. And if the Iranians are foolish enough to somehow involve U.S. facilities or U.S. targets, then U.S. will be at war with Iran, which is what Israel wants.
Can Israel alone defeat Iran in a full-fledged war between just the two of them?
I think the assessment on that, you'd have to talk to Larry Johnson or someone like that who follows the military aspects much more closely than I do, is that no, that Iran is actually fairly well equipped with supersonic missiles and other equipment. And the whole idea of knocking out their nuclear program, which is, again, another one of these arguments being floated for attacking them. These facilities, such as they exist, are impossible to hit. They're way underground, and they're not easy to target. So this is all, I think, a game being played for Israel to become utterly dominant in its region. And bear in mind that they are the only nuclear power in the region. They have 200 to 300 nuclear weapons and delivery systems. So the poor little vulnerable, always the victim, Israel, is actually the bully.
Will the U.S. come to Israel's aid if that's a full-fledged war with Iran? And if that happens, will Russia come to Iran's aid?
That's a good question. And of course, that's the big question. Now, you have to ask yourself, if you take somebody like Joe Biden with his, two functioning brain cells holding hands, what kind of conclusion is he going to come in up with? And I have a feeling that he is ultimately protective of Israel above and beyond U.S. actual interests. U.S. actual interests are to stay the hell out of this. And U.S. actual interests are to stay the hell out, get the hell out of Ukraine. And when are we going to kind of wake up to that fact? The public is waking up to it, but not the idiots in Washington.
Well, I think we're doomed in Israel, even if Trump is elected. I believe he'll do the right thing in Ukraine, but if Trump is elected and Israel attacks Iran and Iran attacks back, what are we going to do? Send 100,000 troops over there? Where are they going to go? To Israel? They're going to have a violent, warlike landing in Iran? That would be insane.
Yeah, and a lot of Americans will die and are already non-existent national budget, if they want to call it that, will explode. I mean, none of this is good for the average American. And yet politicians seem to always think that the ultimate solution to you get into a crisis situation is to declare war on somebody. And this has been going on since George W. Bush and since before that with Clinton. And, you know, this stuff has got to stop. There has to be a wake-up moment when the American people realize that they've been getting screwed by their politicians for many years now. And all these self-same politicians that vote for aid for Israel are on the take. You know, Joe Biden is the biggest all-time recipient of money from the Israel lobby. He's received $2 million.
Does Biden control Netanyahu or does Netanyahu control Biden?
I would say that Netanyahu controls Biden to a large extent, acting through the Israel lobby.
Are Biden's protestations about the suffering of the Gazan people, can anybody take that seriously when he is providing 100% of the means, except for manpower, that brings about their torment?
Well, I think there are lots of reasons why you wouldn't want to take it seriously. He's making the noises about the poor Palestinians because he sees his poll numbers going down as the American people on television, as much as they're allowed to, see all these dead babies. And, you know, they're digging through the rubble of the last hospitals that that the Israelis have destroyed and finding bodies and bodies and bodies. And this is still going on. And the attacks are still going on. So Biden is a total hypocrite. And speaking as a Roman Catholic myself, it's total hypocrisy that this guy still goes to church and takes Holy Communion. Yes. I'm surprised his head doesn't explode.
Yes, yes. I'm surprised that the Cardinal Archbishop of Washington or the Archbishop of Wilmington even permit that, given his facilitation of and payment for abortion. Another issue for another time. I want to transition to Ukraine for just a minute before I let you go, because of the extraordinary Q&A that occurred. I don't know if it was yesterday or today, but it was very recent. I think it was yesterday, between Senator Tommy Tuberville of Alabama and Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin. Let's start with, watch this. Now, here he's under oath. Watch the question. It's very direct. Watch the look on Secretary Austin's face and watch the answer that he gives when the simple question is, can Ukraine win? Cut number 10.
General, can Ukraine win?
Yes, yes.
Well, what does that look? What does that look like?
Well, what we've said all along is we want to see Ukraine remain a sovereign, independent, democratic state that's that has the ability to defend its sovereign territory and deter aggression, and that's been our aim from the very beginning, and it remains our aim. But yes, they can be successful.
Clearly not being truthful and under oath.
At 6 months ago, he said that the objective was to weaken Russia.
Right, right.
Didn't he?
Here's Senator Tuberville again. Mr. Secretary, do we have 12 CIA bases in Ukraine? Cut number 12.
Do we have 12 CIA bases in Ukraine? Can you answer that in this setting?
CIA bases?
I got this out of the New York Times, which I don't read very often, but
I'll defer that question to the director of the CIA, Senator.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Wish he had been a trained lawyer and could ask, and knew how to ask follow-up questions. Isn't it true that as the Secretary of Defense, you're aware of the CIA bases? Isn't it true that the CIA works hand in glove with Ukrainian intel and with whatever Americans are there? Isn't it true that you know this? You may not be able to answer it in public because you took an oath of secrecy, but you knew it. Well, whatever. I don't want to criticize Senator Tuberville. He asked great questions. Here's another one. Early this week, Secretary of State Blinken said Ukraine will join NATO. Cut number 11, Senator Tuberville to Secretary Austin. Do you agree with that?
That is the stupidest comment to come out of one of the stupidest people in the Biden administration. I mean, do you want to put a bomb in front of Russia and keep it there and sustain it? This is impossible. And you know, this constant touting of Ukraine being a democracy, we all know it isn't. We know it's the most corrupt country in Europe. We know a lot of things that seemingly our political leaders don't seem to understand. Again, this Blinken comment is ridiculous. You don't go out looking for enemies and making enemies. You try to talk to people. You try to reason through things. And it's just, this is going to be all bad for the American people, all bad.
Believe it or not, Secretary Austin somewhat agrees with what you said because of the shrewd questioning by Senator Tuberville. Cut number 11.
I heard Secretary Blinken say last week in Brussels that Ukraine will soon be in NATO. You agree with that?
That's the goal of the NATO members, is to at some point bring Ukraine into NATO. And that's certainly something that Ukraine wants to see.
If you're Russia, would you want that? I'm just asking. I mean, we're playing games with Russia right now. I just want to understand why we would do that.
Certainly, if I was Russia, I would not want that, Senator. I would also not want Finland and Sweden to be a part of NATO, and they are. And the reason that they are is because Putin invaded his neighbor, and without provocation, without justification. And so that's why we are where we are. Instead of making things better for himself, he had the effect of enlarging NATO, which obviously creates worse conditions for him.
So his history of the conflagration begins in February of 2022. It does not go back to the American coup of 2014, and it omits the killing, the shelling of Ukrainian people by the Ukrainian government. But I'll let you take it from there, Phil.
Yeah, he says there's no provocation, but if he's that simple-minded about everything that took place before, during, and after 2014, well, then he's not reading his history books. So, but this is a typical double speak that comes out of a government. And if NATO is actually a defensive alliance, which it claims to be, why has it been taking the offense in so many of these places like Serbia, Libya? This has become an offensive alliance. And a lot of people in the world recognize that. And the attempts are even being made now, as I'm sure you know, to extend NATO operations. They've been in Afghanistan. They were in Iraq. Now we're talking about China and Taiwan and that sort of thing. You know, this is just insanity. If you're defensive, yeah, that's fine. I can buy that. I like defense. But this stuff that's going on is not defense. This is assertion of whatever is going on through the heads of the people who run the system that unfortunately we have to live with.
Phil Giraldi, thank you very much, my friend. And thank you for your patience with the internet gremlins. I think we're working them out, but much appreciated, my dear friend.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for having me on.
Of course. Aaron Matei coming up later today. I'm not sure when. It depends on those internet gremlins and The problem is at their end, not at ours. But we'll get to you. Judge Napolitano for Judging Freedom.